Well, I tell you what, it's been good being in God's house. I could leave right now and say I've been blessed, but I don't ever feel right leaving a church service until I've opened up the Word of God and see what God has to say to us from it. And I'd like for you this morning, if you have your copy of God's Word, I'd like for you to turn over to the Gospel of John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I've got a message this morning the Lord's been dealing with me on concerning the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we just heard a testimony there about how important that Spirit is, especially in the church. There's no reason for us to even be here this morning if we want to neglect the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, He's the reason that we are here this morning, to be able to worship in spirit and truth. God says that we are to worship Him in spirit and truth. How do we do that? The only way we can do that is if the Holy Spirit is within the believers of Christ. When the Holy Spirit's in the believers of Christ's body, we can work through the Holy Spirit. And He shows us how to worship. He tells us. He speaks to us. He gives us that unction to be able to preach, to be able to teach, to be able to sing, to be able to even fellowship the right way with God's people. It's through the Holy Spirit. And if you've noticed, I've referred to the Holy Spirit as He. It's not an it. It's not a something out there that we don't know, some kind of unknown thing. It is a He. It is a person of the Holy Spirit. It's one of God's triune Godhead. It's one of the Godheads. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, or God the Holy Ghost. And friends, He's real today. And He lives in your heart if you've been saved. He lives there. All right, let's look over in the Gospel of John chapter 16. Page 641 in that King James Bible in the pew there in front of you. And I'd like for you this morning, if you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word, John chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 7 through 11. John chapter 16. And these are the words of Jesus. And here the Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." I'd like to preach for a little bit this morning on the power of the Holy Ghost to convict, to convince, and to convert. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much, God, for the reading of Your Word today. We thank You for these that are here this morning. Lord, we pray, God, that they're blessed. But Lord, I pray that everything that's said and done in this service today is blessing You and is pleasing You. God, help us today as we preach. Keep me hidden behind this podium today and let You be seen and visible. For it's these things I ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Well, this word that we see in our King James Bible is used here in the words of Jesus. He keeps talking about this, of reproving. That's one of those good words that we don't say a lot in our normal English language, but it's one that the Bible uses many times. This word reprove means to convict and to convince. It's more than just telling somebody something. You can tell somebody all day, but until you convince them of something, it's done you no good. Growing up and learning in school, if a teacher would tell me something, you know, and just say, you know, it's this, and I would hear it, maybe I'd hear it, it'd go in this head, go in this ear, and then it'd usually go right out that one right there. That's why I wasn't the best student in school. But when they would convince me of something, I mean, when they got down onto my level and they convinced me that this was something that I needed to know and that something that was important, then it started making sense to me. Then I understood it. Then I was able to tell other people about it. But until I'm convinced about it, then it means nothing to me. The sinner today is the same way. Until you are convinced that you are a sinner, it's going to do you no good to try to come to Jesus. You must be convinced that you're in sin. You must be convinced of it. And I want you to know today that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is the one that convinces people that they are lost sinners. They convince the person they're in sin. Man left to themselves don't see themselves as sinners. We in our natural flesh today, we don't think that we're sinners. Not naturally. Now you may be saying, well, I know I'm a sinner. That's because God's convicted you of that. He's convinced you. The Holy Spirit's convinced you of that. But the average person out here in this world today that's lost, they're not convinced they're a lost sinner on their way to hell. They're not convinced of that. If they was, they'd get saved. So the Holy Spirit, His job, His work, is to convince men of their sins. He convinces them. He convicts them of that sin. It's a conviction. We have that term Holy Ghost conviction. That's what I'm talking about today. But the sin to man don't seem so big. I mean, man looks at it, the world sins, they look at it and they say, oh, I messed up. Oh, I made a mistake. Oops, that's a boo-boo. I mean, we have little cute names like that for it. We call them boo-boos. Like that, that makes it better. You know, you did something wrong, you sinned, and you say, oh, I messed up. I had a boo-boo. As a mistake. Friends, it's much deeper than that. It's a sin, and it's a sin unto death. When you sin today, it may seem light to you, but to God, it's very, very important. To God, it says in 1 John 3 and 4, it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. To sin means you've broken the law, God's law. Now you say, we're not under the law. I'm not talking about the law that was given to the children of Israel back there to guide their day-by-day operations. I'm talking about the law of God. His moral and spiritual laws. And he says that sin is a transgression of the law, the whole law. You break one law, you broke them all. You've sinned, you've broke all the law. What because of sin, what happens? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. So what happens because of our sin? Our sin means that we'll have to die. And if you die in sin, unsaved, you're going to go to hell. And so the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost will convict men of their sins. The Holy Ghost will speak to them and convince them and convict them that they're in sin. I remember as a young boy when I got saved, I didn't know I was a sinner. I honestly did not understand that I was a sinner when I was a little boy. And, you know, like I've told you before, I told you that story about the time I went to the Hazel Sharp store and I stole that little wax harmonica off the shelf, that candy. And I thought I got by with it. And I got in the car, and we was headed home down Maloneville Road, and I got that little wax harmonica out and opened it up, and I sat back there, and I put it in my mouth, and I blew into it. Boy, that's the dumbest thing I ever did. I blew into that thing, and my dad, I mean, his ears was like an old hunting dog. He went, whoosh. And he looked in that rearview mirror at me, and there I sat with that wax harmonica. And I'll never forget that day. Where'd you get that? Because he knew he didn't buy it for me. Mama didn't buy it for me. Because I remember standing there looking at all that candy and asking them to buy it for me. They said, no, we ain't buying that. I mean, they might not have had the money at the time. Maybe I'd had too much already. I don't know, but they wasn't getting me that candy. So what did I do? I said, well, I'll get it myself. So I grabbed it and stuck it in my pocket. I was a little boy. I didn't understand that was sin. That didn't make sense to me that was sin. I mean, it was there for the taking. Why not? But boy, you talk about when my dad heard that and turned the car around, I went back and had to apologize and all this stuff. Now, friends, that was a humbling experience that I'll never forget. It taught me about stealing. But I didn't understand that I was a lost sinner bound for hell because of my sin. It wasn't just that. I mean, a simple lie, a simple fib, a simple made-up story about something you've told somebody, that's a sin, and that is a sin unto death. But as a child, we don't understand that. And the world, the unsaved world, they don't understand that is a something that's causing them to have to die and go to hell for eternity because of it. And so the Holy Ghost, as I was a little boy sitting there unknowing I was a sinner, lost in sin, bound to hell, until the preacher preached, until he opened up the Word of God and he said, this is what God says about sin. This is what God says about your transgressions. This is what God says about your boo-boos. It's not a boo-boo. It's a sin unto death, and God says you'll go to hell and suffer for that. That's the penalty of it. For the wages of sin is death. And then, you know what happened? The Holy Ghost got a hold of my heart. I want to tell you what, the Holy Ghost is powerful. The Holy Ghost will make you feel and do things that you never dreamed of. He will convict your heart, and I'll never forget when my heart got convicted. Now, this may not be the case for everybody. Maybe everybody won't have that same feeling like your heart's going to come out of this section of your body. But mine did. I thought mine was going to literally come out. It beat so hard. And it scared me to death. And I didn't know anything about heart attacks at 6 years old, but if I'd known about it, I'd know when I was fixing to have one. Until the Holy Spirit convicted me that I was a lost sinner. And then I came down to the altar and I repented of my sins and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And He's been my Savior ever since. But that was the work of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost convicted me of sin. Now, I want to tell you whose job it's not to convict you. It's not my job to convict you that you're a sinner. I am simply a mouthpiece, a spokesperson, a servant of God to open up God's Word and says, this is what God is saying, not what your pastor's. I'm not saying it. I know it, but God's Word's saying it. It's not my job to convict you of your sin. It's not your grandmother's job to convict you of sin. Oh, she may lead you along. She may tell you that it's a sin. She may talk to you and try to get you to understand that you're a lost sinner. Your mama, your daddy, they may have told you that you were doing wrong, that you needed to be saved. But it's not their job to convict your heart. They cannot convict you. It's not the preacher behind the pulpit's job to convict anybody of their sin. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that has the work of conviction today. He is the one that convicts men of their sin. Too many times I've seen people try to take the job of the Holy Spirit into their own hands. They'll use manipulation to try to manipulate people into believing that they're lost, into believing that they need to get saved, and they'll use different techniques. They'll use man-made things to try to convince people that they're lost. They'll try to play on your emotions to be saved. They'll make you get into some kind of emotional state and maybe to see other people that get in the same state that maybe say that they got saved or they want to get saved, and they'll make you believe that way. They might use loud drum beating music and wild sounds and smoke and lights and all kinds of things to try to arouse your emotions. And they play on that. They play on your emotions to try to get you. I want you to know today that salvation is not based upon an emotion. It is based upon a fact. It's a fact that you're a lost sinner bound for hell, and until you trust Jesus as your Savior, you're lost. You're lost. Smoke, lights, mirrors, and all that stuff will not convict a person. It may play on your emotions. And being saved may make you emotionally feel good, and it may make you emotional, but that is not the saving power of it. But the Holy Ghost is the convictor. The Bible warns us about using the world's techniques to try to convict people. Listen to what the Bible says. Colossians 2:8. Colossians 2:8, the Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Now, why would the Bible say this? Because the Bible knew that one day they would be people that would stand up on a stage like this or behind a podium like this and try to manipulate people with the ways of the world to make them be saved or to think they got saved. It's all a play upon people. And he says they'll spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. It's a deception. And so we could very well get up here today and put on some kind of big elaborate scheme to try to get you built up and pumped up and to make you feel a certain way and then deceive you into thinking you got saved. How many people have you heard, you know, well, at such and such Bible school, there was 40, 50, 60 kids got saved. And we hear that. And praise God, if they got saved, I'm so thankful. Praise God for it if they got saved. But I want you to know there are millions of people today that drop off into hell that believe they got saved because somebody played up on their emotions. They manipulated them. They had them raise their hand. They had them repeat some words. They had them to make some kind of confession or profession or something like that in front of people. They followed somebody else down because they thought it was a thing to do because their wife was bugging them and their wife was saying, you know, you should get saved. And to get them off their back, they would come down and make some kind of profession of faith. There's things like that that go on every day, and those people are as lost can be. Because the Holy Ghost had nothing to do with the conviction of their heart. Oh, their wife might have convicted them, and they wanted to hear them, make them shut up. Friends, I'm not telling you this is just something I've made up. I've witnessed this firsthand as I've preached, and I've seen people come down to the altar, and I've talked to them later, and I ask them about salvation, and they'll say something like, well, she just kept bugging me about it. She kept bugging me about it. And so to please her, I went down. You think that's not going on today? People are getting manipulated today, and it's not the Holy Ghost doing the manipulation. It is people. It's vain deceit. So we're not responsible for convicting people of sins. We're not responsible for that. Our job, preaching the gospel, is to say this is what God's Word says. This is the gospel. This is what the Lord says. And let the Holy Spirit do His work. Let Him do His work. Verse 7 of our opening text, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. So this comes right off the heels of Jesus having a conversation with his disciples. And you remember they're standing there and Jesus telling him, he says, look, guys, I'm going away. And you remember that part there in John 14 where he said, you know, in my Father's house many mansions. And he's telling about, you know, he's going to come back and where he goes, they'll come with him. And they're all questioning. They're wondering why. Why is he going away? What's this all about? Why is he leaving us here? And so he's explaining himself. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you. This is a must for you. If this don't happen, then all this is for nothing. I've got to go away and let the Holy Spirit come, the Comforter. He calls him the Comforter in this section. The Holy Spirit has many names in the Bible. I didn't write them all down today, but maybe some other time we'll preach on that. But this is a title for the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, is the Comforter. Now, a lot of times you don't hear that title given unless you're in a funeral, at a graveside service or in a funeral service, and the pastor will preach those messages about the Comforter because we want people to be comforted. And that's what he does. The Comforter comforts, but that's not what it means. The Comforter, the term Comforter, means an advocate, an intercessor. It's what the Holy Spirit is for us. Jesus is the one sitting on the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the work of God here on this earth since Jesus is gone. You see, the Holy Spirit works for God. He does the things of God. In other words, it's someone who works between God and men to guide them and to convict them and to convince them and to convert them. So our text reveals to us three truths this morning. That the Holy Spirit... This is just three of the things that the Holy Spirit is responsible for. Conviction, convincing, and converting. Those are three things that the Holy Spirit does. And so the Holy Spirit will convict the sinner of sin. Convict the sinner, the world, of sin. He'll show us our sins. And like I said, by nature, man doesn't understand sin. We don't think it's that big of a deal, but God does. The Holy Spirit reproves, there's that word again, reproves the sinner. And reproves the world, it says, of sin. It reproves. And so it means it convicts and convinces. The Bible says that we're not the ones seeking after God. Now, we've talked about this before. Sometimes there's a sense that you understand you need a Savior, and you may seek after godly things. You may read the Bible and talk to someone that may have knowledge in Christ. And maybe in that fashion, you may be seeking after some kind of truth. But the truth is, the Bible says that no one seeks Him, that He is the seeker. He came to seek and save those which were lost. And so He is the seeker. The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us of that sin, because we're not going out looking to be convicted. I mean, who woke up today and said, well, you know what, I'm going to go find out how I can be a sinner. I want to go find out, you know, if I'm a sinner. Nobody's done that. We don't wake up and seeking somebody to convict us of our sin. But that's what the Holy Ghost does. We need more than just reformation today. We need more than just transformation. Transformation comes with being saved. But we need more than that. We need more. We need to be convicted that we're in sin. Of sin, why? The Bible says, because they believe not on me. That's why we must believe and be convicted we're a sinner. Because without it, we can't believe in Jesus. He says, because they believe not on me. I have seen people when I've preached, even in this very church, I've preached here and known people that were lost and preached from God's Word and watched them sweat, watched them get those white knuckles, watched them grab the pews, watched them turn around and look away, watched them get up in the middle of the invitation, walk out, watched them duck down the steps, try to avoid me, won't make eye contact, do all these things because they're under conviction. Because the Holy Ghost has come to them while they sat and heard the Word of God, nothing I've done. But when they've heard the Word of God, they sit there and they've listened, and the Holy Ghost has come up and He started grabbing a hold of them. And the Holy Ghost started saying, listen to this. This is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to show you you're a lost sinner, and you need to do something about your sin. And what do? They want to deny it. They want to turn away. They want to think about something else. Look off. Don't even look at the pastor. That'll help some. Let's leave the auditorium while we can, because they're under a conviction. And I even had a man. He used to go here. And he didn't come for a long time, and I called him up and I said, you know, where you been? You've not been to church in a while. You know what he said? He said, well, I'll tell you the truth. And I'm glad of that. He said, I'll tell you the truth. Every time I come down there and you start preaching, he said, I feel so convicted that I can't stand it. I can't stand to sit there and listen to it. And so at least he was being truthful. But instead of doing what the Holy Spirit was bidding him to do, the Holy Spirit was bidding him to come down and turn his life over. You know what he did? He denied the Holy Spirit. He left the service. He left the church. He got away from it. He's trying to push it out of his mind. So what does he do? He gets the bottle and he drinks and he drinks and he drinks, trying to drown out the conviction that's in his heart. But he can't do it. One day I pray that he really comes to the knowledge of Christ. But I've seen it happen over and over and over. People get convicted of it. Now, used to, people would come to a church service. They would get under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And you know what would happen? They'd run that aisle. They'd come down and they'd kneel at this altar and they'd pray and they'd get right with God. They would go to somebody else and they'd say, I don't know what to do. I'm lost. Help me. They'd come to the preacher and they'd say, I heard what you said and I'm lost and I need to be saved. And they would kneel down and they would repent and pray and they would get saved. You know what they do today? They point at me. They look at me and they say, do you hear what he said? Do you hear what that man at Highland Baptist, do you know what he said about that? About what I'm doing? He said that was a sin and I'd die for it. And they get mad at the preacher. They get mad at the Sunday school. They'll come to the Sunday school class. Sunday school teacher prepared all week long to teach them and tell them what God's Word said, and they'll leave there mad. Do you believe what they said? They didn't say it. The Bible said it. God said it. They take their frustration and all that conviction out on the person telling them. You know, what is it? Don't shoot the messenger. That's what people do today. They shoot the messenger. And they blame the preacher. Well, he's preaching too hard. He's too critical. He's inappropriate. And they'll use such terms like that because of their conviction. Well, let me tell you what. If I sat in a church service and the man of God opens up the Word of God and he starts preaching and he don't preach what God says, when I don't feel any conviction what the man of God is saying, if the Bible doesn't convict me of my sin, if the man of God stands up and he preaches and he doesn't preach what God's Word says and I don't feel conviction, I feel cheated. I feel like I'm in the wrong service. I feel like I don't belong there because the Word of God is sharp. It's powerful. Than any two-edged sword, it'll slice and dice. It'll do this because it's powerful. And so we preach God's Word. We preach the full counsel. Now, some men today are afraid of losing their crowds. I'm not too afraid of that today. The crowds, where are they? I'm not too afraid of that today. What I want you to know today, when God calls a man to preach, He calls him to preach the full counsel of the Word of God. If that means offending people, people must be offended. People need to be offended so the Holy Ghost will be able to convict their heart and grip them and show them they're a lost sinner bound for hell. You know, it'd be great to be up here and teach and smile and you know, have one of them pretty smiles that looks like the Pepsodent guy, you know, ding, every time you look up. I'd like to wear one of those $3,000 suits one day and see what it felt like. Not really. Not really. I don't care. Somebody said, well, that's a pretty looking suit today. Well, thank you. They had it on sale at JCPenney's for $35. So, you know, I don't care nothing about that. But there's some men today that's so afraid of losing their position, so afraid of losing their pedestal, their fancy suits and their shoes and their clothes and their houses and their cars and their airplanes now, that they won't preach the truth of the Word of God. So what do they preach? Things that'll scratch those tickling ears, those itching ears. And so they preach those things like that. They won't preach against hell. They won't preach about hell. They won't preach against sodomy. They won't preach against drinking. They won't preach against drugs. They won't preach against shacking up together. They won't preach about these things. Why? Because it offends people today. They're so sensitive. Oh, let's be politically correct today. Don't say anything about that. Because, you know, people do that now. Yeah, people did that back then too. And God still said it was a sin. If it's a sin then, it's a sin now. It's a sin. And so people don't preach on what the Bible says. I don't know what they're preaching. You know, seven ways to have a better bank account. Seven ways to improve your financial goal or whatever. They're preaching so much junk today that they can't even have the conviction of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's not there. The Holy Spirit's not within the man of God or the man that says he's the man of God. He's not in the people that are in the pews. Because they push him away. Because they want to hear man's philosophy and vain deceit. They want to hear the ways of the world. They don't want to hear what God has to say. But the Holy Ghost has the power of conviction. He will convict men of sins. So we preach the Word. in season, out of season. We preach every jot, every tittle. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. And what's that big list of them? Of doctrine, reproof, instruction in righteousness. Why? Because the man of God may be truly perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So the Holy Spirit convicts men of their sin. Because of sin, because they believe not on me. Secondly, the Holy Spirit convinces the sinner that they're lost. So we fall into conviction. We realize that we're a lost sinner. That preacher said something from the Word of God that's caused my heart to fail, to faint. I remember there the Bible talks about people, their fainting hearts, because they were convicted of their sin. You remember all those people at the day of Pentecost when Peter got up and he said, "Thus saith the Lord," and what happened? All those people, they were pricked in their hearts. Why? How'd that happen? The Holy Ghost. Remember, the Holy Ghost came down in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Ghost came down, filled all those men up there in that upper room full of the Holy Spirit, and it was like a cloven tongues and fire on them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost as he stood on the day of Pentecost, and he preached what God said, and what happened? The Bible says that they were pricked in their hearts. And they say, "What must we do? How can we do anything about this? What do we got to do? We've been convicted." You see, the Word of God convicted and convinced them. They had to do something. They got to do something. So the Holy Spirit started convincing them of their need for righteousness in Jesus Christ. We must have righteousness in Jesus Christ. If we have any hope of heaven, we must know Jesus. John 3:20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." That means convicted and convinced. "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." So a person must understand, they must be convicted, and then convinced they're a lost sinner. Jesus was always reproving the Pharisees. Now we know the Pharisees were the religious leaders, right? They were the preachers of that day. But what the Bible say? We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount Bible study series. What's Jesus been saying? They're not even going to be in the kingdom of God. Why? Because they were never truly converted. They never trusted Jesus. They trusted in themselves. They trusted in Abraham and Moses and all the laws and even the laws they made up. They trusted in them, but they didn't trust Jesus. Even though Jesus, the truth and the light, was right there in front of them. And it says, "The light cometh, lest his deeds should be reproved." So the Holy Spirit reproves men of their sin and convinces them of it. And nothing's changed after all these years. Men still refuse to believe. They believe their good works will get them to heaven. It's the same as the Pharisees. They believe that abstaining from these things, of avoiding this and avoiding that, and looking a certain way, praying a certain way, cutting their hair a certain way, speaking a certain way, avoiding these type of people over here, that this would get them into heaven. As long as I keep doing all these works, I'll get to heaven. And men today still believe the same thing. They believe that they're good. If they give to the church, if they maybe do something for the church, maybe they do this or that, a good deed or something, that surely that goes into my account. Surely that's going to help me in my approach to God. You know, God doesn't work that way. You know, there's no more important people to God and less important people. Everybody's the same. I don't care if you come and you lay $1 million in an offering plate this morning, and if you want to do that, feel free, and we'll fix up the fellowship building or something. Or we'll give more to the missionaries. We'll get more missionaries. If that's what you want to do, if you want to give $1 million, that's fine. But the person that gives $1 million or the person that gives nothing, God sees him no differently. God doesn't see you any different. So when you start thinking you're getting a little better up on God by doing your works, you're sadly mistaken. God doesn't work that way. You can't make him like you better than the other person or make him like you any more. God's never going to like you any more than he liked you on the day you were born, or even before you were born, while you're in your womb. He's not going to like you any better. He liked you the same. He loves you. The Bible says that he sent his only son here to die for you. That's how much he loves you. You're not going to make him love you more. He won't. He loves you the same. His love will never change for you. And so men, you know, we think we can work our way to heaven. And in some people, they want to use other people to blame for the way they live their life. Instead of the Holy Spirit being able to convince them that they're wrong, you know what they do? "Well, let me tell you about my childhood." They won't play that game. "Let me tell you what happened to me when I was a kid. My daddy beat me. My mama did this. My mama did that. My daddy did this. He was a drunk. She was a drug addict. Blah, 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 boo, hoo, hoo. Cry me a river. Does that make you the same? Does that mean you've got to be the same way? My dad was a school teacher growing up. I'm not a school teacher. What's the difference here? Well, my daddy was a drunk, so I'm a drunk. Really? Is that the way it is? Come on, grow up. We can't blame everybody else for our sins. Just because your mama shot up with a needle, she used crack cocaine or whatever it is they're using today, don't make you one. Don't make you a crackhead. You choose to be that way. Just because your daddy was a cheater on your mama, don't mean that you're one. You don't have to grow up and be that way. Can't blame your daddy for your fornication, for your adultery. You can't blame your daddy because he beat you, the reason you're beating your wife or your kids. It's not his fault. It's not his doing. You choose to be that way. Now, I know that childhood things scar us, and they have the things that happen to us, and it does things to our life that makes us think different ways and all, but you still choose the way that you live. You choose that way. So don't blame everybody else. Quit blaming them for your problems. You're not a drunk because your dad was. You're drunk because you choose to be. You're not a drug addict because your mama was. You chose to be. You know? It's the way it is. I didn't become a preacher because my grandfather was a preacher. God chose me to be one. I didn't choose. And it wasn't because my papa was one. That's just the way things are. So, one of the hardest things to do as a preacher or someone trying to lead someone to Christ is to convince them that they need Jesus, to convince them of this, even though they're under conviction, to convince them of it. So the Holy Ghost, that's His work. And the truth is, the Bible tells us over in Isaiah that we're all sinners, that we're all as unclean thing, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So the Holy Spirit convinces us that we need Jesus. And the last thing, the Holy Spirit converts. The Holy Spirit converts men. He convicts you. He convinces you need to be saved. And then what happens? He converts. The Holy Spirit's work is to convert that lost sinner. The Word of God says there's two kinds of people in this world. You know what they are? Lost and saved. There's two kinds of people, lost or saved. You're not halfway between. You're not above or below, but you're one of those. You're either lost or you're saved. You're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. When you close your eyes in death, you're going to wake up in hell or you're going to wake up in heaven. You're not in any in between. There's two types of people, lost or saved. The Bible says, Paul said this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But if you're not saved this morning, to be absent from your body will be present in hell. That's just the fact. That's what the Bible says. And hell is a place, the Bible says, the fire never quenches. The worm dieth not. It says their worm. That means you're personal. Personal. It's personal. Will never die. It's a place of eternal torment and torture. It's a place where all unbelieving, hell-bound sinners will be. Not only will they be there, but so will Satan and all the legions of demons that followed him out of heaven. If you're not saved today, Jesus is not your Lord. You cannot claim God as your Father if you're not saved. He's not your Father. In fact, the Bible tells us your Father is the devil. He is Satan. That's what the Bible says. I can't be any plainer this morning. John 3:16. He says, "For God so loved the world." The world, who's that? That's us. That's the sinner. That's that man out there wandering around doing all these things in sin and not even aware of it. Before we even knew we were sinners, God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on a cross on a place we call Calvary. The Bible called it Calvary, called it the place of the skull, called it Golgotha. And Jesus was nailed by His hands and by His feet to that cross. A man who had never committed one single sin, not one transgression, not one boo-boo, not one mistake, not a single sin, yet He died for sin. Whose sin? Right here. Right here. Next time you go into the restroom, look up in the mirror.
That's who God died. Jesus died for that person looking back at you. You sitting here. These people out here in the world that's doing all these things that are lost, sinners, He died for them too, and they don't even know it. If they do have heard it, they don't care. But He sent His Son into this world to die for it. And He didn't send His Son to condemn the world. The Bible says that in John 3:17. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Might be saved. There's a day of judgment coming. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. You don't have to believe it. It's still coming. A day of judgment. For the Christian, the day of judgment is going to be a day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, and we'll answer for those things that we did after we got saved. We'll answer for those things of why we did something in a certain way and didn't do it this way. And those will all be worked out. And anything that we did in our own power, anything that we thought we were doing for God, we were doing it for ourselves, that's all going to get burned up. We're going to stand there in a pile of ashes. You know, just I know it's not probably physical. We won't see a pile of ashes, but all those works will be burned up. And those things we actually honestly did from our heart for the Lord, those works that we did after we got saved, we will receive crowns for. And the Bible gives us all those crowns, seven of them, believe there was, all those different things. We will receive gifts for those. But the reality is, if you're not saved, you'll go to another judgment. And the Bible talks about that over in Revelation chapter 20, and I'll be finished. Look at Revelation chapter 20, and verse 10, I believe it is. I didn't include this into the outline that I made up for this message, but Revelation chapter 20, just so you'll be very clear of why conversion is needed. Revelation chapter 20, and 10, I believe it is. There it is. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And the devil..." And remember, in our opening text, the Bible said that the prince of this world is the one, the judgment, because of the prince of this world will be judged. Verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." But look at verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. And look at verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Do you know whose name's not written in the book of life? Those that's never trusted Jesus as their Savior. Those that the Holy Ghost may have convicted and convinced, but they never were converted. They never trusted Jesus. They never repented of those sins they were convicted and convinced about. They never did trust Jesus, the one that died for those sins, to give them the gift of eternal life. They never did that. And they were judged and cast into that lake of fire along with Satan, the prince of this world. The prince of this world. He is the ruler of this world right now of sin. Well, God's not here to condemn people. He's not here to condemn you. He's here to convict, to convince, and to convert the lost sinner into righteousness, into being saved. Now, if you die this morning unsaved, it's nobody's fault but your own. Anybody that's heard this message this morning, what the Word of God said, anybody that may listen to this on sermon audio or on YouTube, wherever it may be played in this world, they've heard what God's Word says. And so if they do not trust Jesus as their Savior, it's their own fault. It's their own fault. God doesn't send people to hell. You send yourself by not trusting in Him. Well, why do we care? Because He loves you. And what about you today? Has the Holy Ghost been dealing with your heart? Has He convicted and convinced you you need to be saved? Has He been dealing with you? Because, my friend, if you leave the service today lost, if you leave here, if you leave this walk of life unsaved, you will go to hell. You will. There's no doubt about it. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now, today, today is the day of salvation. Ladies, please come get the invitation song. I'd like for everyone to stand this morning. I don't want us to bow our head, close our eyes. I don't want anybody looking around doing things today. Get your mind off of lunch today, please. Get your mind off of everything else and get it focused upon the Lord. And I want you to pray with me this morning. And I want you to pray, and I want you to seek your heart, and I want you to find out for sure, has there ever been a time you've trusted Jesus as your Savior? If there's not, the Bible said today is the day of salvation. If the Holy Spirit's been dealing with you and you need to be saved, I'm asking you today to come to this altar as we pray together, and you come down here and let me pray with you and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message. God, I pray that it's helped people today understand the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit. God, I trust that you've opened eyes today. Lord, you have opened hearts. God, nothing I've done, but Lord, what your word has done. God, we thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, for the power that you allow us to have through the Holy Spirit. And God, we're asking you now to deal with hearts today. If there's one today that is unsure of their salvation, maybe they are sure they're not saved. God, if there's one today that's unsaved, would you convict them, Lord, with the Holy Spirit, that they'll come down and they'll be saved today. Help them, Lord. Everybody's praying. If you need help, you come to this altar today. I'm not dragging out an invitation. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, you come down here and let me pray with you. Let's get things right today with the Lord. If you're saved today, I want you praying. Praying that God's Spirit helps people today. You don't know who it may be. It may be a person standing beside you. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they're unsure. Maybe they've never trusted Jesus. Maybe the person behind you or in front of you. May even be somebody in your family that you're going to tell about this message. Pray for them. Pray for them. Father, help us. They're going to finish this song, and it's going to be ended. If you need to come down, you come.